before you open the door. Don't hit a cyclist. Whatever the first line is, don't hit a cyclist, should also be noted on there. Eric also replied with standard procedures for addressing this, and it is thorough for the most part, but it stops short of recommending things that haven't been done before, such as this. I feel like as the number of bicyclists, transportation, commuters increase, we've got to be more vigilant about protecting these things. By the same token, I do not agree that an anti-automobile stance is productive at all for this committee, nor do I think it's positive to reduce road surface space that is not in our benefit as I see it. But anyway, quickly summarizing this campaign. Signage with the help and approval at the expense of the city to place them in high-density parallel park areas and even small, even the narrow neighborhood streets. And the copy can be determined by the group as we go along. Posters, get some nice artwork done. Job that out to somebody. There's plenty of artists that love to be involved in something like that. Place them in all the store windows. Berkeley is a type of community, a lot of street life, where signs in retail spots, restaurants, carry a lot of mileage for theater, dance, arts, and things of this nature. So that would be part of it, too. And throw in a few T-shirts for the group here to get the campaign started, and hopefully get the mayor and one of the council people to have a day set aside to call attention to this, issue a proclamation to officially kick off this campaign. We're proposing a PR campaign. We're proposing a community awareness campaign. And I think that's what's called for, to generate thoughtfulness about this, which seems to be sorely lacking. The good thing about biking in Berkeley is that most drivers are thoughtful about looking out for bikers. The downsides I've called out before in these meetings and my memos, my concerns about traffic circles and so forth, that's for another day. So that's the summary of my suggestions, and anybody has any questions, clarifications, things to add?
You're talking about exactly what I feel is real important. So if there's anything I can do to help, I'd like to help.
Great. I appreciate that. Let me get you, I'll give you a card to get your email before.
Okay, so do you want to open it to discussion for
a
few minutes?
Open to questions, discussion.
Just in terms of procedure, so you understand it, and Eric can help me out to make sure I understand, since I'm a volunteer and Eric, being an employee, has more sort of opportunity to, grasp the administrative stuff, the process stuff. But the way things get processed is, this is a subcommittee of the Transportation Commission, and anything that we want to propose, say to council, would have to first go from here to the Transportation Commission, and it has to be proposed by the commissioners on this subcommittee. And right now, Eric McCoughran, the other commissioner who's on this subcommittee with me, is not here. This would need to be developed a little bit more if it was going to go anywhere beyond here to the commission, so that the commission would understand what they were voting about in terms of a recommendation to go to council. So that's just procedure. And I guess the other thing to consider is that the city division of the transportation division, and in particular the bicycle pedestrian planner, the time that staff has to complete existing projects is limited as far as what they can do. I don't know if the department is even up to full staff, if we're short staff still. So We have a bike plan that has yet to be fully implemented, which was last updated in 05. It was written in 2000, and it has yet to be fully implemented. And in addition, there are other projects that have been sort of in the queue, I guess, for a long time. And the city was without a bike ped planner for how long? It was less than a year, I think, but it was
8-9 months.
I think it was just about a year.
Yeah, it was pretty close to a year.
Yeah,
and we're also without a transportation division manager, and in addition to that, for quite, I think, even more time, like a year and a half. So I just want to say that the transportation division, at this point, as far as I'm concerned, is doing a really good job playing catch-up. I really appreciate the job that Eric is doing to stay focused on what's already on his plate. And I don't know if you have any other procedural things you want to add. But. Okay, so I want to give people a chance to discuss it, because I would like to hear. And you guys, you know, should have time to talk about the importance of the issue that Scott's brought up.
And after everybody has their turn, I'd like to make some more comments in response to what Marcy just said. But you guys first.
Anybody?
Nobody else.
Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I do have a strategy for avoiding doors. I ride outside of the door zone. And I know some people aren't comfortable with that, that you feel like you're too much in the traffic. But one of the things that's been found in a lot of places is the more you're visible, the less likely cars are to overlook you and say, oh, I didn't see him, you know. Appreciate people's concern with doors opening suddenly. I think we can do stuff with that, but like I said, I try to avoid putting myself in that situation. I think that's a bigger risk than being rear-ended by a car. I don't know if you have any statistics in your collection of statistics about when cars and rear-ended bicycles.
There's collection in that memo.
Right. We can assume that the other 92% of the collisions involve more serious of both car and bike moving, right? Would that be so, Eric?
I don't understand the question.
You said that 8% of the 317 collisions involve dooring, so the remainder involve both a moving car and a moving bike?
Not necessarily.
What else would be in consideration?
Oh, well, there's a huge number of different collision types. I mean, it could be a moving car hitting a bike that stopped. I mean, the most common ones are the right hook, where a car turns right in front of you.
Yeah.
The left hook, where a car turns left in front of you, oncoming. And then people riding the wrong way is the most common cause of car-bike collisions. One of the other chief causes is dart outs, people who are riding on the sidewalk who dart out into the street or dart out of a driveway into the street. So it's about 50-50 on cyclist and motorist responsibility in terms of the causes. So,
I mean, I know when I got doored, the first thing I said was, gosh, I can't believe I was that stupid, because I was riding in door zone. I had been distracted by something that was going on in the middle of the street that wasn't normally going on, and I put the blame on myself and thought, gosh, we really should educate the cyclists. So I think I love the idea of education, and but I think my goal would be to kind of empower cyclists to be aware of the hazards and not necessarily label drivers as the bad guy. I know all too often they get that bad rap, and we don't necessarily want to start a war with them about, you guys are bad, you're going to hit us. And maybe offer some defensive cycling classes about the different hazards that are out there for cyclists, because I know I encourage my friends to ride, and while I'm pretty aware of what's out there, I don't necessarily think about that piece of it, and I want them to have a good experience. And we can't stop every cyclist, every driver from being hazardous on the road, but we can empower people to learn how to be safe for themselves. So I would like to see if there was any money or any energy put into it to maybe put the focus on educating cyclists first.
And there are classes
on defensive cycling
for exactly
they're
these
coming
these
up
things,
right now.
Yeah. Say what?
They're happening like right. They're the sign up process is now.
Yeah, and I think if you go to it's ebbc.org, EBB.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen EBBC. Some of them. I mean, maybe it's just a matter of changing the names so that way, because I mean, I know I wouldn't sign up for like an urban bike class, but I maybe would sign up for a defensive cycling class. Because I know how to, I mean, I feel like I know how to ride in the street, but I don't know.
Can I share something that I shared earlier before other people came in?
Yeah, and I just want to try and keep, just so everybody knows, your comments should probably stay to 2 minutes, and Greg had his hand up, and then Diane.
So I like the idea of combating one of the many bike accidents that happen, and I'm going to piggyback on bicyclist education because, I mean, I bike a lot. I see a lot of bad drivers. I also see a lot of bad cyclists. I kind of chuckled to myself when he said seeing cyclists go the wrong way down the street, because I was yelling at a cyclist the other day coming at me as I was bicycling.
Going the wrong way. I've had that happen lately a lot.
And it's that we are encouraging bicycling in the city of Berkeley, and we have a DMV. We have a driving test. You have to get a driver's license to get in a car. It doesn't exist for a bike at all. We are saying, oh, get on your bike, go ride, and we're having booming numbers of cyclists. We're not giving them the tools that they need to keep safe. We're not telling them, make yourself visible. Don't go down a one-way street. Don't ride on the sidewalk. Like, these things, I mean, yes, there's laws against them, and maybe they'll get in first, maybe they won't. But there's no bicycle education programs to the effect that they are for drivers. And as there's not enough bicycling education for drivers in driving schools. But I think that we can help on one end by working with our group of people first, which is the bicyclists. And if we got a program like that together, I would see all of these numbers would go down.
So, I'm sorry, just to clarify, the program that you're talking about getting together, what is
it? I think we should do something oriented through bicycle education, since that is our community. Aside from the classes and with the classes.
Okay, so what form would that take, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, maybe we could do a campaign. I mean, like in San Francisco, they do a billboard campaign. It was like, be nice, you know, and they have the smiling bicyclist and the smiling driver all waving at each other.
Okay.
It's great.
Cool.
But, like, you know, kind of, it would be as simple as maybe getting a pamphlet together before Bike to Work Day and giving it out to people on that day. That could be one large step in where nothing is being done right now. And so, I mean, I'm into kind of doing incremental steps and doing one thing and then stepping it up a little and not just going, let's all do this big campaign all at once. So.
Eric is sitting there. You just want to pull up the chair. There you go. Sorry.
That was only my concerns. I just don't want to put in a lot of energy towards doing this whole campaign all at once, even when you're stating that there's so many other projects that need to be done. I think that we can start small and make a large impact.
Just to add on that, I like the idea of getting it ready by Bike to Work Day, too. If we could just throw it in the little swag bag, that would be great.
A pamphlet.
It ought to be before Bike Month starts. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Point of order. I just want to point out that we're supposed to end this item at 5:55, and Dave Campbell just came in. I don't know if Dave is prepared to talk about Bike to Work Day or the bike classes, but we're talking about Doring, and there seems to be a suggestion that we try and educate cyclists about Doring. And their suggestion that the classes...
I know just how to do it.
Right, so if you want to just go ahead and pass those out, that would be great.
Sure. These are flyers for our free bike safety classes coming up this spring.
There's a couple of suggestions that if there could be some sort of pamphlet that could be distributed at Bike to Work Day at Energizer stations. I don't know exactly what we think that pamphlet should say.
I'm already ahead of you on that one, too. We're going to have our bike safety quiz in each Musette bag this year. We did that 2 years ago. We'll do it again this year.
And it will cover Doreen?
Yeah. It's a 12-question multiple-choice quiz and put together, tri-fold, and it'll be in each Musette bag. These classes here teach you much more than what's on the quiz. Do note that this flyer was printed before we changed the Berkeley date, so the Berkeley date on here is not right.
Do you want to tell us what it is?
We're still waiting to hear from Peralta on
that. Okay, all right.
So check the website that's at the bottom for an update on the Berkeley class. The other class dates are solid.
I'm sorry, you said 2 minutes, and I didn't even get a chance.
Yes, go ahead, Diane, sorry.
I saw a guy get hit by a car. Wait, and he had the green light, and a car just turned right into him, and I saw him fly up into the air. So if I can do anything to prevent something like that from happening again, because I don't want to be witness to that again, without at least knowing that I tried. So I don't know if your campaign would involve pedestrians too, the safety of pedestrians.
Okay, so, and I know you mentioned that you wanted to say something before we wrapped it up, and I don't know if anybody else had anything really burning that they wanted to say on this
item. I wanted to ask questions.
So, Scott, do you want to give Eric a chance to...
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Absolutely.
I think one of the things that was mentioned in the previous meeting was the idea of signage, right? Normally, when the issue of signage has come up, the very first thing I've always heard from other city staff is, well, there's an official process where you have to submit the request to a state board to get official blessing to make an official sign. I think it's called
California Traffic Control Devices Committee.
Right.
Yeah.
I personally like the idea of an officially sanctioned state sign that has that type of warning. Whether that board would go for it, I don't know. But I'd be curious to know what the official process is to submit a request for a sign, whether that makes sense.
So I guess what I said wasn't important because you didn't give him a chance to respond to me.
Let me just quick response is that that's also what's motivated me to try to initiate this and promote that through this committee. So I appreciate your support on that, and I'll give you my information so we can stay in touch.
Okay.
About it.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, Diane, I really couldn't hear you because you were speaking to Scott, and so I don't know how many people actually heard you, and I knew that Scott had earlier said he wanted to say something, so I wanted to give him a chance. And then Eric wanted to say something. So,
Eric has more.
Doing my best.
Eric, you have more to add?
I'm sorry?
You have more to add?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. First, with regard to bike education, I agree that that should be the number one priority. You stated it very lucidly that we promote it, but that we don't provide any education or structure for teaching people the rules of the road. So that is something that can go hand in hand with any sort of PR campaign that this committee gets involved in. I got a reply that staying out of the door zone is the best option, but it's not always an option, so that's why we still have to be aggressive about this. There are bad cyclists. I mean, I've seen so many things that are just maddening. I would say maybe about 50% of the people who ride bikes in Berkeley wear helmets, and there's a law, it's not enforced. You know, it's not something you want to sanction and start fining people for, but there needs to be an increase. And
the helmet law? Is that for kids under 18?
There is a helmet law.
There is no helmet law for adults in the city.
It's just for under 18.
Oh, really? There is in El Cerrito.
So oh, really? Cars,
yeah. Then I have friends who've gotten tickets.
Which presumably contravenes state law.
By all means, let's put that on the agenda to propose that there be a helmet law in this city another day. Back to the response for this. State approval for signage would be an interesting process. I would love to go forward with it. I'd be happy to be involved with that. as I would Marcy, as far as putting together the actual proposal for the Transportation Commission. I'm not sure exactly what you're looking for, but I feel like I summarize it pretty well. It's been placed in writing a few times before, and I can put together a nice, neat memo to the Transportation Commission with specific recommendations that I think would be helpful to the process. Beyond that, I'm well aware of the backlog of good projects that that are waiting to happen through this committee and the commission and the council, but I think it would be a bad mistake to use as an excuse not to be aggressive and push forward on this in conjunction with the bike education program. So one other thing to add. You mentioned to piggyback the bike education program on this. I'm all for it. In that sense, I think that we should present them hand-in-hand to the Transportation Commission, and maybe you and I can work together on the editorial process of that. Anybody else who wants to be involved?
Okay, so the time is up for this item.
Thank you.
And just so everybody here knows, we did add times for all the items, and we're coming up to item number 6, which we're allowing a half an hour for, and then we all need to leave the building when Eric needs to leave.
I'd like to also propose that this agenda be given some time next month, because it seems like it's not going to go away tomorrow, so we can still talk about it. And
I'd
it doesn't
also
seem like
just that bike advocates are free to meet as long as they want.
Yeah.
At any time to
definitely
formulate a more comprehensive idea.
Right, just can't be in the city building.
We have our own time limits and our
yeah.
own other agenda limits, but everyone else is not under that restriction.
I'd just like to point out that there is some relationship between this item and the next, and in next step strategy, I'd like us to talk a lot about how to increase funding for bicycling issues and pedestrian issues in Berkeley.
Okay. I think a real good start to during prevention is what a couple people have already said, and that is to educate cyclists as to ways to avoid doing that, which I understand is none of this is easily done, and again, we have limited staff time and limited funding, so we're just going to keep on moving forward and doing what we can, and I guess, Scott, maybe what you can do for next month, if we're going to put it on the agenda, is to bring a written proposal with you so that we can entertain that here.
Sure.
Okay. So number 6, bike plan update and implementation discussion. The first item on here is bikeway crossings, design improvement possibilities along Ashby as it relates to the Caldecott Tunnel 4-4 mitigation settlement money. So, Eric, Dave, I know... Dave in particular had, I think, some background to this, possibly, and Eric, we did talk earlier about possible Malcolm X Safe Routes to School funding, which, is that for the Ashby-Ellis intersection?
It's for Ashby-Ellis and Ashby-King.
Okay. So there's an application for some funding to go toward improvements at Ashby Ellis, at least.
And that's the Safe Routes to School?
Yeah, and King being a bike boulevard at Ashby would fall into this item. So Phil's hand is up, and Dave, did you want to jump in here after Phil? Or?
I can just provide some overview, and then maybe Eric. We just got an update from staff.
Is that okay?
And then throw it out to the group.
Okay.
As part of the Caldecott 4-4 project, Caltrans agreed to give the city of Berkeley $2 million to improve the Ashby corridor. To put it very, very briefly. And that includes improving the bike-ped crossings
of the corridor. To get that $2 million, the city submitted a list of about, I think, $2.6 or $2.7 million of projects that they would, they've got in the plans to do to make Ashby better, and Caltrans agreed to fund $2 million. So the city has $2 million coming to it at some point soon, hopefully, to spend on the Ashby corridor. Hopefully a large portion of that will be to improve bike path safety. And so at some point, that discussion needs to start. And this is a good committee for it. There's other committees, perhaps, as well. Ultimately, it'll go to the Transportation Commission and Council.
And the PED subcommittee. Yeah. There's another one, yeah.
That's...
So do you have a list of projects today that were approved by Caltrans?
No, I have the list the city submitted. Caltrans didn't approve a list. They said, here's $2 million. We saw your list. Great. Looks good. That does look like real projects, but they add up to $2.6 million, and the check we're writing here is for $2 million. So it's not so much a matter of whittling down the list, but you know, coming up with $2 million in these good projects.
So do we have an idea of what we want to do here with the subcommittee with this funding?
Ask for a fair share.
Well, yeah, what are the projects? Is it like a definite, finite set of projects that have already been determined for this money? Do you know?
Well, I think Dave summarized the process pretty well, and it hasn't gone any farther than that at this point. I mean, all we did was pretty much take the bike plan and the pedestrian plan and pull everything on Ashby and dump it into one massive spreadsheet and say, here's what we would, you know, build if we had the money. And that's how we got the $2 million.
Got it.
And so I would say, for this committee, I guess the, biggest areas of concern would be the, obviously the bike boulevard crossings, like Hillegas and King and Ninth Street. And correct me if I'm missing any.
California. It's not a boulevard, but it was
right.
It was listed.
The only way in which we've discussed using these funds at all, and this has been very, very hypothetical, is that we're working on the Ninth Street bike boulevard extension that would, connect via a pathway to the Emeryville Greenway, and we would like to fund a very, sophisticated bike and pedestrian signal at that Ninth Street intersection. So whether or not we pay for that with the Caldecott mitigation money is something that we're not clear about yet. We may be able to pay for it in other ways, but it's on the table. And that's really as far as we've gotten. And I mean, I guess from a staff perspective, I would say, we need to be cautious and look to the problems that have occurred in the past, such as the signal that was funded at Ashby and Hillegas, that where the money had to be given back because of the local opposition to that. So as we move forward with these concepts, if this is what we do with the money, we need to be very... I'm not sure how this subcommittee would support that effort, but we need to be very conscious of avoiding that pitfall.
Point of information.
Right. So I got Phil, Scott, and then Jason, and Scott.
I think points of information go first. But
I'm sorry?
I just have a point of information.
Okay, go ahead.
But the issue of what happened with the Hillegas light is not necessarily as simple as neighborhood opposition. Mm-hmm. That story keeps coming up, but from what I knew of it, it wasn't necessarily that simple. There was a lot of neighborhood support and a lot of other support.
So Phil had his hand up
earlier. I don't have anything.
Okay, and Scott?
Yeah, two questions. Number one, do you know the actual cost of installing one of these on such a street as Ashby?
Installing what?
Crossing with the flashing light and the markings.
It would be something along the lines of up to, $250,000.
Okay.
And that probably less.
The flashing crosswalk. Does that include the flashing crosswalk, such as on Bancroft?
No, it would just be for the signal crossing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can there be any exploration into more of those linking crosswalks on the busy streets?
That's a possible treatment, but I mean, I think we're kind of getting a little ahead of the discussion.
You mean for 9th Street?
For Ashby and University and the busy thoroughfares.
I guess I didn't hear the whole question, I'm sorry.
You're talking about the Santa Rosa lights?
In pavement lights, okay, but on that, I didn't hear the question.
Yeah. At the new bike and pedestrian crossings yet to be installed.
On Ashby?
Wherever they're being installed.
Well, right now we're talking about the Ashby corridor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about now.
So what's your question? Sorry.
Well, that was one of them, whether the flashing crosswalks can be considered in the design for these things. And my second was is that if there's not a portion earmarked for, portion of this $2 million already earmarked for bike and pedestrian safety, I think we should forcefully argue for that through the commission, the city council, up the food chain.
I think we already have it, and I think it is already designated for bike and ped projects or safety projects along the Ashby corridor. Is that from the bike and ped plans is what I just heard. Is that right?
Those types of projects are eligible.
Okay.
There's no guarantee that bike ped gets to spend 100% of the money.
Okay.
There are other types of safety traffic issues that could be funded, like traffic signal synchronization is one that is included.
There's a bunch of other improvements that are eligible.
Okay, so, all right. Aside from the eligibility, I guess what I'm trying to understand is, from the city point of view, whoever is in charge of this pot of money that's going to come to the city, was the intention that $2 million was going to go? So in other words, what you're saying is the city has not decided that money is going to go to bike and pedestrian projects along the Ashby corridor. There's no decision made. We're not sure. It could be a 52-card pickup. We don't really know.
Correct.
Is that? Okay.
I think the issue for this committee is some of that money is going to go to bike improvements. Some is going to go to ped improvements. Okay. I think we can reasonably assume that.
Okay.
And so Ashby is this two-lane busy street, and we've got several bike crossings. So what would this committee like to see the design be at that type of an intersection? A bike crossing with a two-lane busy arterial. And maybe the design is different at Hillegas than at California than at 9th, but at least the issues are the same. And I think this committee can start, as soon as it's ready, to start thinking about how to make that type of an intersection safer for cycling and for pedestrian crossings. And, you know, if that started now, it wouldn't be too soon.
Okay. All right, so in terms of people that wanted to speak, Scott Mace and then Eric.
Okay, thank you. I live 80 feet, you know, maybe 100 feet from this intersection on Hillegas, and I've lived there since 2001. I want to elaborate on what Jason said, and I think, Jason, you're correct that there has been local support, but I also want to point out that it isn't as black and white as some people supporting a signal and some people opposing a signal. I know many of the neighbors in this community. There's some people who support a certain kind of signal, but oppose other kinds of signals. My question is, we could end up with an unintended consequences issue at Ashby and Hillegas, where we want a certain kind of signal to be put in, but as with what happened at Telegraph and Russell, local opposition to whatever the bike committee wants results in a more traditional traffic signal, which is what we have today, with a few exceptions at Telegraph and Russell. And for those of you who don't know, my wife and daughter were struck there by a left-turning car on Valentine's Day of 2006. And I attribute some of that to the modification that was made by the city, which would have prohibited left turns if this bike committee had its way. But since left turns were permitted, the left turn that allowed this motorist to hit my wife and daughter was legal. They're fine, by the way, relatively speaking, but it was a scary moment. My fear is that if Caltrans did not stipulate in their settlement with the city of Berkeley that there be a precondition that there that this not be a full signal, but that this be more responsive to bicycles. What's going to politically permit the city to come about with such a precondition? And if there is no such precondition by the city on that particular intersection, this raises the likelihood that it will end up being a full signal. Another note is, of the three crossings we're discussing here, only Hillegas is also in the crosshairs of the Telegraph BRT controversy. And I know that just this week, Mayor Bates is pounding the table down at AC Transit saying, why can't we just take this lane of traffic away, Telegraph, and give it to the bus? The intersection that appears to be most in danger of being an alternate for motorists is Hillegas and Ashby. I see a lot of bad behavior on Hillegas and Ashby. I see a lot of cars do really stupid things. I've seen a car rear-end a bicyclist there who's waiting to cross. I see a lot of bicyclists and pedestrians taking life and limb in hand to try and get across there. I share, morally, spiritually, the desire for a safer crossing for bicyclists. My concern is the politics of this seem forsworn or foreordained to end up with something that people just can't think creatively sometimes. And so what we end up with is a conventional solution, like a full traffic signal. We also have a city which is unwilling to put one single more diverter in anywhere in this city. And that would be another arsenal in our tool chest if we were able to use it. But since those don't seem to be possibilities, I fear for the outcome of this process, particularly with Ashby and Hillegas in mind, and would urge that we work very collaboratively, very consultively, very closely, that we not have some consulting firm hired to go off in some back room somewhere and come up with a fait accompli that the council then supports, and that we not let our rush to grab for these dollars in this economic climate where any dollars are just simply being lunged at, and that we end up with a solution that actually could provide many more problems in addition to solving some. That's what I wanted to say.
No money for consulting firms.
Okay, so Eric was next, and then Jason.
All right, well, I also live in that area, and to be perfectly blunt, I don't share any of your fears about putting a signal there or BRT or any other proposals. Not that I'm not sensitive to neighborhood concerns there. I do think there's enough competency in the staff that we've got to do it right. They put in a traditional signal, you're right, that's counterproductive, but I've not heard that proposed in the latest iterations. The question I had is, are we going to be only limited to bike-ped crossings of Ashby? Because people do travel in two directions, and they also travel along the Ashby corridor. The Russell Street Bike Boulevard is generally the preferred bike boulevard that runs parallel to Ashby, and that's the route a bicyclist might use who wants to travel on the Highway 13 corridor. And the Russell Street Boulevard also has crossing issues.
The answer to your question is yes. Okay. Money can be used off Ashby to improve travel on the corridor.
Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
I would support that most enthusiastically.
So the money can be used on Russell to improve Russell, the Russell Street Bike Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the Ashby money.
Yeah, that's allowed. The concept here is and just sort of indulge me with the analysis here is the Caldecott's going to dump more traffic on our streets, okay? Particularly the Ashby Street. They're going to be using Ashby. They're going to be using Telegraph. And so the mitigation money is to make it safer, not really to ride your bike along those two streets, but to either get across it, or since it's more dangerous to ride on those streets because of the additional traffic, if you ride on Russell, we can make that safer. So the point of the projects is to mitigate the additional increase in traffic. And so there's a legitimate argument that making Russell safer does that.
Okay. So, do we have a timeline that we know? I don't mean tonight. I mean, for this money, like when decisions are going to be made and at what point we can weigh in on that as a subcommittee or as a commission or an advocacy group? Or does anybody have any sense of that?
I don't have a sense of the timeline, but at some point in this timeline, the powers that be are going to know what do you want cyclists to get to make traffic safer for you. Okay? And that's not the time to start thinking about it. That's the time for us to have our solution mm-hmm. kind of ready to go.
Right.
So, good question about the timeline. I'll try to get you more information. Eric's quite well positioned.
Well, I was just wondering if we could come back again next month and talk about it some more if we don't have enough time tonight, because design considerations could take a long time. And you talk about the all of Ashby and the potential crossings, and you're talking about Russell. And, you know, we could talk about the toolbox and the different kinds of, signals and crossings. And, you know, I mean, and we have 10 minutes left. So that's why I'm wondering what the time
is. We're definitely not going to design the intersection, so I don't think that was the goal.
Well, so. You mentioned earlier that you wanted us to discuss, like, design considerations
yes.
here.
Yes, I wanted it to start. That discussion would start sooner rather than later.
Okay, and Jason had his hand up earlier. So, Jason, did you still...
Yes. Are we on a particular letter? Because some of these seem to be mixing together.
We are on 6A.
Okay. I guess I'd just like to sort of concur with Scott about the issue of...
Scott?
Mace.
Mace, okay.
Who's the other... sorry. Regarding the possibility of mistakes when we put in signals. It's a very expensive thing that can just basically generate traffic and reduce level of service for bicyclists and pedestrians, even if it... And they can also increase the severity and of injuries and the instance of collisions because of many things I won't go into. So I'm glad to see that I guess it isn't really a next topic. I certainly share the frustration about Russell and Telegraph when that went in. It was a big tragedy, really, and if it's going to be there, it should be changed. And I think that what came closest to a consensus from what I saw in the Hillegas Ashby process was the idea of a right turn only for motorists and straight through for bicyclists. And it would be good to have some protective policies universally about how we implement, how we allow these types of signalized crossings to be in Berkeley on any bike boulevard or bike route.
Okay. So we do have, we can, these are going to be kind of ongoing items, the bikeway crossing of arterials in the city in general. I just am interested in getting sort of a consensus from folks about the other items that are on here. If
before we get away from this, may I just suggest that maybe Dave and one or two others could form a design subcommittee and get together at Okakwale or something and have something to present next time. How about it, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely need people thinking about it. I think it's something that we need staff, maybe
Dave and Eric.
I don't know, but experts to help us with this. The West Berkeley plan has already come up with some good work that we can build upon. They actually want us to build upon it.
Does that mean we should move on to item B here?
So I'm just saying, I don't think it's just an energized advocate design issue. I think staff and some expertise.
Yeah, definitely. Eric?
I have a couple of things. To respond to the timeline question, we don't have a specific timeline yet, but it is something that will be, it will be coming back to this subcommittee, definitely. So, and in terms of the design, that's something that will have to be sensitive to the context of each of the crossings.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling from a staff perspective is that the most useful first step would just be a position from the bike community, whether that comes from the bike advocacy organizations or from this subcommittee or whatever, just stating you know, that these are our priorities for safety improvements along the Ashby corridor as a result of the, you know, potential use of this funding. Because right now, you know, we have a bike plan, which staff is very familiar with and the city is very familiar with, but, you know, we don't, you know, to sort of jump ahead to what is the design going to look like skips over that step of, you know, what do we do if we can't fund everything that's in the bike plan? Then what then becomes the most important thing for us to do? And okay, that's a kind of input that would be very useful to have.
So prioritizing intersections?
Prioritizing intersections, prioritizing potential improvements along Russell. You know, whatever it is that this subcommittee or the advocacy organizations thinks is important, that's the input that would be really helpful to us. Because, you know, we have our own ideas, but we need to hear from the community.
Sure.
Yeah. Mike? Well, if I could add something to what Scott said, I think, you know, the concerns of the neighbors are oftentimes quite legitimate. That these, there have been a lot of very bad decisions made in the city about putting signals in that are ostensibly to improve pedestrian or bike safety, but they have the impact of slowing down traffic on arterial roads, mm-hmm, and diverting that into our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to consider these, I think, you know, looking at the intersections is a good start, but we need to put in place a system where we have an impact assessment procedure that's likely to look at those worst case scenarios. What if the traffic diverts into the neighborhood? What can we do to make it very unattractive for, mm-hmm, vehicles to divert into the neighborhood while we put in these main arterial road improvements? And I think, you know, getting past the neighborhood opposition, there's going to be a long period of building trust. And the best way to do that is to actually do something positive and put some infrastructure in place while you put in these you know, arterial improvements that are going to mitigate impacts that are potential and oftentimes likely. You know, and I can think of examples in my own neighborhood, my Bike Boulevard area, where there was, you know, pedestrian improvement put in an arch. We now have so many arch and then Oxford, and we have so many lights on the competing main arterial road of Hearst. We're getting a huge amount of flow down Virginia. I have a video here for anybody who wants to see it, just in case you want to. And, you know, it's hard to believe it until you live there, trust me. So I think that has to be part of, and I've said the same thing about the pedestrian plan as well, that we need to put in place an impact assessment procedure so we don't just go and, boop, there's a new light, this is a great design, it should work.
Oh, absolutely.
There has to be something put in place in the nearby streets that's not going to impede bicycle movement, but that is going to offer some protection for the neighbors that are trying to support bicycle boulevards but don't want to turn their own streets into collector arterial roads when they're supposed to be
alternative arterials. So, I just want to say that I don't feel like I can come up with the design, the different types of designs, and certainly, you know, the technology that's out there is hopefully ahead of what I know. And, you know, in terms of, you know, potential treatments at intersections and ways to assess the impact on the neighborhood and ways to engage the public and all those things, I feel like, you know, I would like us to have some sort of departure point in terms of design ideas. And I guess also what we need to do at some point is come up with where we think the most important areas are to focus. And so I think we've heard the impact on the neighborhood comments. I get the feeling that the city is sensitive due to past process to doing it right this time, you know, having the process go better than it has before so that the ultimate outcome works for the intended users. and improve safety. Okay, so I saw Eric, I saw Phil, I saw Scott, and we're supposed to end this meeting in about a minute.
With regard to timeline,
here's the bike over. Let's pass this around.
I'm fearful that if this $2 million sits in a pot for a very long time, it will start to get frittered away to other non-bike pet projects. So I would urge all due haste to allocate it to. If you feel you're not getting enough feedback from the bike pet community, then definitely start poking people and move along.
Okay, so Scott.
Briefly, the paving seems to have dropped off the radar. Milvia Street and Addison, right outside here, are two of the worst in town. Let's talk another day about see if that can be fast tracked. Parallel issue to what you just brought up, street lighting in the surface streets continues to be terrible. The public works email to report them is not responsive. I need to follow up with the Fareed to see a way to deal with that. But when you see street lights out, report them. There's a PW Works email address to send them to. Thank you.
Okay. Phil?
Yeah. We talked about doing impact assessment. Now, I don't know if the city staff can do impact assessment. I've been reading a book which has some, it's called Traffic, Why We Live, the Drive the Way We Do, and What It Tells Us About Us. And it's sort of anecdotal, sort of based on some studies that the guy has liked. But I'm not a traffic engineer. I can't tell when some kind of what I think is going to be good is what's right is counterintuitive.
Right.
Does the city have the competence to do that? Does this community have the competence to do that?
Eric, we really need to leave here very soon, so I'm not sure how to, what the next step should be. Should we just come back the next meeting? And now that we've sort of heard what we want to try and do, people can say, okay, this is what we want to address. We want to address this intersection, that intersection, Russell, whatever, and take it from there? Or will the city be able to come back with some design ideas? Or
I think if you're asking for a suggestion, I would encourage us to continue this item on the next agenda and just reframe it as a discussion of what are our priorities for the corridor.
Can you bring us a list so that we can rank them?
We can have a map of the corridor.
That'd be good.
So there's some list out there. If we can just see the list, you can get a sense.
Oh, sure. And I can bring that list as well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We're just passing this around for anybody who wants to see it.
Okay.
You just fire it up, silent, and watch the cars on your bike boulevard.
What is this?
Virginia.
You got a live cam there?
No, I think you're putting one in, though. You're putting a webcam.
Thanks,
sir. The cars behaving badly.
Sure.